Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Case in Point, episode 19. And today I have return of a good friend of mine, a special guest, Eli Itera Jr. And Jody is on assignment today. Actually, again, he's at his palatial estate off of Lake Ontario. He's on vacation. Yeah, this is going to be a good episode. Today, we're going to jump into some really cool vintage G.I. Joe stuff. And it was really great that Ponch was able to be on the show. I'm glad to have you on, man.
Hey, glad to be on, man.
You're well versed in vintage G.I. Joe stuff, because as a kid, I remember you're one of the only kids I knew that had the Rolling Thunder. So
I have to say that's probably my favorite vehicle I had. I mean, I think prepping up for this episode, I was trying to remember all the vehicles I had owned when I was a kid. And come to find out, like, I've actually owned a lot more than I thought I did. But even despite that was my favorite vehicle of all time, man. That was great.
Yeah. Well, what happened to a lot of your stuff? Just kind of just sold it off, or yard sale, or?
Well, no.
Smashed it, like my brother and I. We smashed our toys or burned them.
Yeah, a lot of them. Well, it was a combination of different things. When I was younger, we moved around a lot, so I think stuff got lost, from that. But sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, I was agreeing. It's all coming back to me. It's the because I remember when we first met, it was like 90, 91, something like that. We've known each other there a long time, man. At least 25 years. Jeez. But I remember even back then, I remember you would talk about G.I. Joe and my brother, like, we're into He-Man and Transformers. Those things are too small or whatever. I came with a camouflage. It looked like poop, so I just wiped it on the wall outside my bedroom. Which is what I did.
Yeah, me too.
It's still there to this day, too. It's never been washed off. Anyway.
I still can't find it either.
But anyway, no, I wanted to... it'd be fun to walk down memory lane with you on some of this stuff. And just to preface this, everybody, this is not... I am not at all attempting to encompass any... all of the lore associated with G.I. Joe or the toy lines, because you just can't. I mean, this is just tip of the iceberg, if that. I mean, barely scratching the surface, and really just kind of how it affected, me as a kid and Eli as a kid. So, yeah, I was going to ask you, Eli, I was going to ask you if, what was your first exposure to G.I. Joe? Like, what was your, was it the cartoon or the comic books? What was your first inkling that you recall, like, hey, I want those?
Well, it definitely wasn't a comic, because I don't think I was into comics at that time.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember if it was the toys first and then the cartoon, or the cartoon first and then the toys. Maybe it was both, combination of both. I would say, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure I had them before, but there's, I think, the Christmas of, 86, 87, I'd say.
Yeah, we're about the same age, so it'd probably be, like, maybe almost, like, the vintage era was starting to wind down before they went all neon. You'd have, like, the Ice Cream Soldier or whatever, where they're starting to get, like, hot orange and green and purple.
Fluorescent colors.
Yeah, exactly. Because it was like the late 80s, early 90s. All those toys were in, and it was like everything went neon. Squirt guns, dart guns, cap guns, whatever. And along with it were a lot of the vehicles and the figures were starting to go that way. I didn't have Joes when they were the old, like the 84, 82 line or the 84 line. Because 82 was like the first year they introduced the 3 3/4 inch, I believe. I'm sure there might be some ardent G.I. Joe fans out there that probably want to correct me on that. But I believe 82 was the first year that they had the 3 3/4 inch line. And they had the Missile Command Headquarters, which is a Sears exclusive. And it was all, like, it was cardboard, paper diorama that came with, because it was a Cobra base, so it had, like, Cobra Commander and a couple soldiers that came with it.
Right.
And that's way before my time. I mean, that's I'm with you. I'm like 86, 87 is where I started remembering the stuff.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned cardboard diorama because this is long after I started, like, I received my first G.I. Joe toy. I think my parents never afforded to get, like, the, what is it called? The mobile defense unit. The big giant tank that's, like, 3x3 squared, I think.
Yeah.
Pretty big thing. So to compensate, I would get, I would recycle boxes from when I used to do those stupid, candy bar,
The fundraisers?
Yeah, fundraisers, yeah. Yeah, I'd have a bunch of those empty boxes left over, so I said, you know what, let me build my own mobile defense sensor.
That's awesome, dude. I never would have thought of that. That's great, because just use ours to clean up dog crap. So, throw it out by the road.
They're very good for ghetto G.I. Joe encampments and buildings and stuff.
That's awesome.
Like, what I used to do is, I also used to own the General Big Giant Tank. Do you remember that one? I think it was like 90-91 that came out.
Oh boy! I was on my way out at that point. I was getting into I was getting more into 90-91. Was like they had like the Transformers Pretenders, and I was phasing my way out of Joe's. So my knowledge at that point is as far as childhood is very spotty. But the only tank that came to mind was the Mobat, which I think was radio controlled. But that's so. That's earlier. That's like early Joe's, early 80s.
Mm-hmm. Well, from what I remember, the General Tank came around the time. Well, a cool feature of the General Tank was that it had a this sound box that I don't remember if there was like voices from it, but it made like different sounds like missile shooting and laser shooting, or whatever. This was around the same time where you had like several other figures that had like this big sound pack as a where it had like two or three different sounds, like shooting sounds or whatever.
Oh, okay.
But I would take the sound box that came with the General, because I think I traded to get the General Tank. But I jerry-rigged it to hook up to the small little lights that you get from like Hess trucks or whatever. And I would like wire up all these lights all over my ghetto battle station or battle whatever for my G.I. Joes, and I would have all these lights hooked up on these cardboard walls.
You rewired it? That's awesome, dude.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it didn't really take much engineering, because I just basically like jerry-rigged all the wiring to where you would put the batteries in on a pack. Like, I had no idea about soldering or anything like that. Cause,
oh, sure. Yeah, what kid at that age would? You're like 10 years old.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Hey, Dad, give me my soldering iron. I'm going to rewire this bad boy. Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to lose a couple of fingers, go right ahead.
Yeah. My fillings are hot. What are you doing? You licking those 9-volt batteries again? Yeah. No, I have a picture of the General up on front of me at the computer here. I vaguely remember it. And we never got any vehicles for Joe's unless they were like a yard sale.
Okay.
And I think honestly, I had more vintage Star Wars vehicles than I did Joe vehicles, because we were seeing those at yard sales.
Wow.
And
because I don't remember many. I mean, I knew they were Star Wars vehicles, but did I actually? I remember. As we're talking about this, like, a lot of memories are just coming back to me. I remember one Christmas, I think it was maybe before my father started buying me G.I. Joe figures, where he had bought me the original R2-D2, the original C-3PO. I remember the R2-D2 had, like, the blue foil on it, like, you know, right on the figure, and C-3PO obviously was the fake gold or whatever. But I remember having, like, the first releases of those two figures. That I might have gotten Luke, but I don't remember what version. If it's like one of those, the rare lightsaber variations and stuff, I don't remember which one, but I think I had him. Maybe the Return of the Jedi black, all black outfit. I might have had him, but I don't remember.
Yeah, well, it's kind of interesting because, like, they're starting to show a lot more documentaries and stuff. And I know there's one on Star Wars toys, and I'm not trying to digress too, or venture off too much into the Star Wars stuff, but there's one called Plastic Galaxy, and it's pretty cool, and it's about like the you know, when the Star Wars or the Star Wars sets first came out, they had like the early bird set, where it's like you would buy this and you're guaranteed to get your figures sent to you in the mail or whatever. And but no, I hope that they do one about G.I. Joe if they haven't already. I'd like to see a documentary about the Joes, because that's also Hasbro, and I would like to see one on that. Now, I know that the for the cartoon series, I have those ones that came out on the, there's like the ammo box that came out in like the mid-2000s, maybe 2004, 2005, somewhere along there. They had this big green ammo box. It had the complete series, and it had some other items in there. And but I have the, I've got the DVD sets, like the smaller sets, like volumes. And it's really cool because they've got some of the original commercials on those DVDs, and they also have some interviews with the writers of the show, and I think there's actually some toy maker interviews on there, so I'll have to watch those at some point. But I love documentaries, and I would absolutely love documentaries about like toys and how they're made and how the sausage was made, like what goes on in the corporate world of these things, because ultimately that determines like how the toys are released and, you know, what kind of restrictions are put on the toys, or, you know, how they're engineered. I love all of it. I just love all that stuff. So I highly recommend the documentary that I just mentioned.
Yeah, and what's interesting too is you even get to see how, well, I haven't seen this particularly, but just knowing how like toys are distributed, or just distribution in general from like my line of work, but you have certain figures that were like regionally released.
Oh, sure.
Like,
yeah.
You have there, I know there was like some figures that were released, say, in the East Coast that didn't show up as often in the West Coast. And then
You
know, going to like the more obscure stuff, you had stuff that was released, you know, only in like Argentina or South America that never came out here in the States. So,
because the factories and everything where they're located, and also like the logistics, like the distribution hubs, like you're saying, and maybe where the headquarters are. Like, it's funny because like I know the old Kenner headquarters, that's now was it in Cleveland or Cincinnati? I don't remember. I know it was in Ohio, but now it's a giant, that big building that it's in. It was like a Kroger. The Kroger corporate headquarters is there now. You know, the chain of grocery stores. And thought that was interesting. But yeah,
That's kind of sad.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the way the turd floats, you know. And it'd be nice if Hasbro would start getting some more Joe stuff out there. I did watch an interview recently. It was on YouTube, and I think I think it was over in Connecticut. I can't remember where it was. I sound like a real idiot tonight because I didn't check up on the stuff. But I watched an interview, and the current brand manager for Hasbro was saying that G.I. Joe, they're not going to release any new figures for at least 2 years, or until it's going to be until a new movie comes out. So no new Joes for the retail line. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. You know, it's like, I wish that they would re-release the USS Flag. I don't want this new, update version. I want to have one that's close to the original, and it's like, fine. I understand it's expensive, but put it on, do some kind of thing like Mattel was doing where you could buy it online. I'll pay $400 for it. I don't care, you know? And it's like that's iconic, you know, because I was this close to buying a vintage flag on eBay, and I started reading how like you get these things and the plastic is getting so brittle that if you try to put it together, it's just gonna start falling apart in your hands, and that kind of shied me away. But I'm so hooked on the thing that I'll probably end up getting it anyway. But yeah, that's one thing to remember too. If you're gonna buy these toys on eBay, they start getting brittle, and you just gotta be real careful. Like I have a Cobra Rattler that I got from a friend of mine, in a trade. We traded some comics or some video games and stuff. We're both trying to clean our houses out. We found stuff that we both like, so we're swapping things around, and I got a Cobra Rattler, and it's in like immaculate shape, you know, it's great. And but I refuse to try and bring the landing gear down just because the stuff, the plastic is getting brittle. And I was like, I'll just leave it as is. That's fine, you know. And it was really interesting too, because like the Joe vehicles, they were, the plastic that they were made of was like real like shiny and smooth, whereas you had like some toys where it's like, you look at like toys now where it's all that gummy plastic. I don't know if you've seen any of the Star Wars stuff or had it in your hands or have purchased any. Maybe like the new X-Wing or any of that. Have you gotten any of the Episode 7 stuff?
I think the last vehicle I bought was and nothing recent. I think it was it was Darth Maul's. I think he had a spacecraft called the Infiltrator, I think.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, is that the name for
it? Yeah, the Sith Infiltrator, I think, right?
Yeah, that's the one where like the wing, like the cockpit is set towards the back of the vehicle.
Yeah.
You had like the wings that kind of like spread open.
That's a great ship. Out. That is an awesome ship. I love that.
Yeah, that's the last Star Wars figure that, or Star Wars vehicle that I remember buying. But yeah, even then, like it wasn't like dummy plastic what you're talking about, but it didn't have that glossy sheen that the old J.R. Joe vehicles had.
Yeah.
I mean, it was still sturdy. It still had sturdy construction to it. So
yeah. Well, the stuff now, it's. I think they kind of did that on purpose to make it a little more pliable, so it doesn't snap. Mm-hmm. And because it's not necessarily cheap. I don't think it's cheap. If anything, it's heavier because it's more of like a gummy gel. Well, I shouldn't say, maybe not gel, but it's like a gummy kind of plastic. So it's a little, it's different. It's just different. And I would imagine if they start coming out with new Joe stuff, it's probably going to be of a similar ilk. And right. And so like, because I do have some stuff from the G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra movie, and like that mole pod, you know, the thing with the big auger on the front, it can burrow into the ground and stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's not gummy plastic, but it's like that kind of plastic where you can see the swirls in it. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Like if it's a silver plastic, you'll see the swirls.
Yeah, there's a term for that. I don't remember what it is exactly, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, if it's chrome, it's called vac metal, is what they would call it. Like vacuum, okay. It's like a vacuum thing, but it would flake off over time.
Yeah, I think I remember somebody telling me that when you see the swirls in the plastic, it's not as high a quality as it should
yeah,
be.
Exactly, yeah. It's almost like, it's like a pop plastic almost.
Yeah, or it's like a composite of like other plastics.
Exactly.
To make that. So, yeah. What's interesting is that when you're talking about that interview you read with the who was it, the Hasbro exec talking about the G.I. Joe.
Yeah, the brand manager. Yeah.
Yeah. What I find interesting is that, to me at least, I think the Star Wars story that I was telling about with the R2-D2 and C-3PO figures, I think that's the earliest memory that I can think of offhand right now of me receiving a figure as a gift.
Oh, okay.
But even at that time, I knew of the G.I. Joe, the toys. So maybe I knew about the toys first before the cartoon, and now that I'm thinking about it. But when I was younger, I always thought of them being hand-in-hand at first because, you know, they're the same three-and-three-quarter size, mm-hmm. and... You could fit Star Wars figures in G.I. Joe figures, but G.I. Joe had better articulation, so you didn't have to worry about chopping up the Star Wars legs to have them bend so they can fit in the vehicles and stuff. But,
yeah, that's a good point, man. I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. I never thought of that. Because, yeah you're like, because the Star Wars figures would just be the 5 points. So you'd have the mm-hmm. hips, the arms, and the head. And then, like, yeah, I wonder why that is. Because, I mean, think about it. Like, all the way up from, like, the 70s, all the way up, I mean, for the Star Wars guys, all the way up from the 70s up till, like, even the... They didn't start having good articulation until, I think, probably... Let me check my wall here. I think probably when the prequels... after the prequels were coming out. And I think it was when they started doing the... maybe 10 years ago, and then they started having good articulation on them.
Was it after like Power of the Force?
Yeah, it was post Power of the Force, okay. And because then they would have like they'd have, like, I think it was after episode 3 came out, then they started having good, like, good articulation. And, but, like, Joe's always had that, and I'm like, that's what I think makes Geo's, or Joe's more appealing to, you know, collectors, is the fact that you can actually put them in vehicles, and, you know, you do have the rubber band thing, the O-ring that's in there, but they're so easy to fix. I mean, you know, it's like I have a vintage Sky Striker jet, and he has the pilot, and that thing came to me in pieces, the pilot did, and I fixed him in like 5 seconds, man, and he's like brand new. He stands up and everything. It's great.
It's funny because for me, depending on the figure, if it was like a favorite figure of mine, if the O-ring would break, I would be disappointed. But most of the time, I would be kind of like happy about it, because I used to like to Frankenstein my figures.
So
my own custom figure.
Yeah.
So the O-ring breaking wasn't as bad, as long as it wasn't on like Hardball or Captain Gridiron. Those were two of my favorite figures as a kid. But other than that, it's like I would take like Tiger Rat, join him up with like Flint, have some Zestro arms or some nonsense like that.
And then, yeah, he's got like cybernetics now or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny because the pilot of the Sky Striker was Ace. That was the guy's name.
Yeah, you're right.
And it was funny because they made him look like an astronaut, kind of, because he has that dome helmet on, which was removable. You could take that that plastic dome off of his head, so it's just kind of like a high-rise collar kind of thing, which I thought was cool. And it had the parachute. Sky Striker had the parachute that came out.
Those things are very delicate.
They are. The one I have, it's like, man, I gotta like make sure it stays stationary. And I got one because I ordered a like when the re-release came out for the Sky Striker jet, I ordered one off Amazon, and the lady sent me the wrong vehicle. She sent me one of the it was from Rise of Cobra. It was a black dune buggy that comes with snake eyes, and
that's cool.
And that was missing the cannon on top. But I sent her back a message. I go, this is not what I ordered, and she's like, I said I can return it if you want. She goes, no, please don't return it. I will get a jet. I'm all out of stock of those. So the lady was really cool. She sent me a vintage Sky Striker jet.
Really? Not the re-release?
Not the re-release. It was the 1983 version.
Wow, that's cool.
And I was like, this is amazing. The lady went the extra step, so that was pretty cool. That's how I got my jet. And
that's cool. Yeah, I think you got the better part of the deal on that.
Yeah, well, and she knew that too. I mean, she wanted to make up for it, you know, and I left her a good review, you know. And but that's like called customer service, you know what I mean? Which is something that's dwindling these days.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't exist anymore.
It does not. No. And, you know, and a lot of that too could be because the person, a lot of people get burned themselves, and so they're trying to take the hard stance so they don't get shafted again. And that could be a lot of it, but yeah, I mean, it's that jet's real, some of the landing gear actually broke on it. It's so fragile, and I actually had to buy some pieces off eBay to replace some of the landing gear, but yeah, you just have to be real careful with some of these older toys.
Yeah, after this, because I also have the Cobra Rattler, The back landing gears are missing, so I have to buy that. And also the canopy on that middle turret.
Yeah.
The canopy, so I have to buy it. And that happens to be one of the harder to find pieces for the Rattler if you're looking to replace that part, which sucks. And I've noticed too, because I've also purchased, I don't have them anymore, but within the years I was in college, I had purchased I think two different versions of the Rattler. There was a version where it had like a copper paint finish on the outside.
Oh wow.
And I initially bought that so I can get the canopy from that and put it on my old one, but they were slick and not including the canopy and on that version of the Rattler. Mm-hmm. The turret was there, but not the canopy.
Oh, okay.
and they actually remolded the turret so that the slot the canopy in was not there at all.
Oh, I see.
So I think they knew people like us would buy the newer figure or newer vehicles to use those parts as replacement for the older vehicles, but yeah, that didn't work out. But it's, going back to the Ace pilot for the sky the skies.
Sky
Sorry,
Striker, yeah.
yeah, my mind just kind of froze there for a minute. I used to own the Sky Striker in college, the original one, but I think I traded or sold on eBay. I don't remember,
Oh,
but I
okay.
actually do have the re-release that you were talking about.
Yeah, so do I. I ended up buying that. Yeah, it's in box.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But as far as the Ace figure, I remember in college I also used to own this Conquest X30 variation, where it was like a Toys R Us exclusive, and
Oh,
the
okay.
vehicle had like a camouflage paint scheme on it.
Oh, that's cool.
And yeah, it was an awesome vehicle. But what was cool is interesting is that version of the Conquest X30 had Ace as the pilot instead of whoever it was initially.
Oh, okay.
But I think it looked like it still had the same molding as the way he looked like when he came with the Sky Striker, but instead of it being like white with like red paint details, it was like a dark gray with like light gray details. So it looked even more space looking than.
Well, that's cool. It's more space looking. That's interesting. More maybe it appealed to more of a sci-fi type thing.
Kinda, yeah. And what's cool is that you're still able to remove the dome off of his head.
Oh, okay.
So, but yeah, that was an awesome vehicle, man. Like, 'cause I think you remember, like my father's in the Marines, so he kind of got me into the whole military stuff. Actually, I think it was him that turned me on to G.I. Joe.
I could definitely see that, yeah. And your dad was also in like, I mean, your dad's cool, man. Your dad likes all the sci-fi stuff, all the military stuff. I mean, so I remember like I'd go over your house and like your dad would be playing like, oh, man, he was playing some old Star Wars computer game, and this is like in the late 90s. I cannot remember what it was. It was almost like a first person thing, but I don't remember what it was. It was like he was trying to get up to the top of a building or something. What do you remember that game?
Well, at first I thought you were talking about TIE Fighter and X-Wing.
Maybe it was,
Those,
I don't know. I
yeah,
just
those,
a vague memory.
because those were PC games, and they were like flight simulators almost, and it was like first person flight simulator where like when you're flying in space, the viewpoint's from you being inside the cockpit.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
So,
cool.
but going up a building, maybe
Yeah.
that was like the Super Star Wars for Super Nintendo, maybe?
It was a computer game. Maybe it wasn't even Star Wars. It could have been something else. But I remember watching him. He's like, "Yeah, I'm trying to get up this building, and I just can't get up there. I'm trying to figure it out." And he was like going around this building. And this is like in the late 90s, like, because I'd pick you up because you'd hang out at my house for the weekend. So this might have been like 99, 2000, somewhere around there. So it could have been anything. But anyway, I got us off on a side tangent, which I excel at. No, I ended up. I remember when Target. In the mid 2000s, they had they re-released a lot of the older vehicles, and they had the Conquest X30. They did the Python Patrol and they did the Tiger Force, and the 2009 was what I was thinking of. And I didn't get the Conquest X30 with the Python Patrol Viper, but I got the regular the Joe version of the X30, right? And
Yeah, me
then
too.
the re-release of the Cobra Rattler, I have that, and they're in box, and so I left them in the box because they're in a window box, which I think is great. And I went ahead and I bought all of the 25th anniversary G.I. Joe, like the retail line, the ones with the foil G.I. Joe cards on them.
Yeah, I got into those a lot too. Like, I think I had at the time all of like I'd say the first four or five waves of that. And I remember like Shipwreck, he had like different variations where he had like different tattoos in his chest. Like he had the like there's a term like the world eagle sink anchor. There's a term for it, but he had that tattoo where he
Right.
had like the world and the anchor behind it.
Yeah.
And there was another one where it looked like a shark, I think.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I picked up the Toys R Us exclusive of Shipwreck.
Oh, okay.
And I also what's the name of the medic? It's totally drawn a blank
Oh,
here.
Doc?
Yeah, I have the I think jeez. Boy, that was a hard reach. Yeah. Yeah, did you like the sculpts on the 25th anniversary line? Did you like those?
I did actually because well, it's funny you mentioned that. I'll go on like a brief side tangent.
Yeah, go
A
for
lot
it.
of like the more recent stuff I collect, like I think I might have mentioned in the last podcast I was in about collecting the SH figure arts Dragon Ball Z figures.
Oh, those are, yeah, those are excellent. Yeah.
Yeah, like I enjoyed the figures that who was it? JAX Pacific? Were they the ones that released the Dragon Ball Z figures in like the late 90s? Was it
Oh, yeah,
them?
and the 2000s. I've sold off a lot of the GT stuff I've got.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
those were nice and all, but like as far as like articulation and sculpting, you can't beat what's coming out now.
Well,
And
that's why, yeah, and that's why I dump mine because I'm like, I better sell these off while I can because the Figuarts stuff is so much better. And yeah, that's why I'm dumping them. Plus, I don't really care to have them anymore. But
Oh,
yeah, no,
so
you're absolutely right. And I like the posability of the Figuarts stuff. Just
oh yeah
everything
it yeah
superior.
it, yeah it's they're very well done stuff. So, but as far as like the G.I. Joe ones, I mean, even I personally think the Joe figures from the 80s, they were, I guess, lack of a better term, revolutionary, because like you were talking about before, the Star Wars figures, they only had like 5 points of articulation. And then
Yeah.
you had the as far as if I'm remembering correctly, the first line that was released for G.I. Joe, I remember, I think they only had on the arms, they only had the articulation for the elbows, but I think it was like a few, like a short time after the initial wave was released, they added the bicep articulation.
You're absolutely right, and I think when they started coming out with the G.I. Joe 25th anniversary, I think that's when they made the switch to the more articulated G.I. or Star Wars figures, because they're probably like, hey, we have a factory, we have the tooling, we have the capability here to just add this. It doesn't cost any extra. We're already doing this anyway. It makes sense just to do that. Yeah.
And so I mean, even back then, like their articulation was fantastic, and
Yeah.
the sculpting for what it was at the time was great too. But like now, you actually have figures that you have like a very distinguishable like facial features, like noses. There weren't like back in the 80s, like facial features seemed more like a relief. Versus now, like you can actually see nostrils
Oh,
and nose of
yeah.
the figures now and stuff.
Yeah, the
And
technology is just a lot better.
and even like the articulation, say on the elbows, or like you were talking about, I can't remember the term that they use, but basically you don't see the pivot joint, because they do some like it's like some sonic weld or like sonic thing where they use some sort of like waves to like basically melt the plastic. Like remember the older figures, you would see like that metal piece that would form the pivot for the elbows.
Oh yeah, the pins. Yeah, the hinge, yeah, the joints, yeah.
So they basically that's like a metal rod, and they would put that sandwich between two pieces of metal where like underneath would be like the base, and on the top you'd have like a hammer that basically hammer the sides in, so it becomes that what's the word?
Like a ball joint.
Not a ball joint, but the way when you hammer in like a cylinder, like a metal cylinder, the edges start curling in on itself.
Oh, sure. You know, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Whatever the term is that. But now, like with plastics and the way they the
Oh,
technology they
yeah.
have now,
You're probably talking about
they
like
have
it would flange is what it would do.
kind
Yeah,
of,
it would kind of like it would kind of like mushroom out a little bit.
or even now we're like basically they would take the like if the pivot joint was made from like a plastic rod, instead of seeing like some gross piece of plastic sticking out, they do something. It's like some sonic welding. I don't know, remember the actual term, but it basically hides the joint, so you can't even see where the pivot starts. It's just, built into the arm and stuff, which is cool. And like, yeah, the way their version of handling the O-ring problem is by having the articulation midway into the torso. So I thought that was ingenious.
Well, you remember you remember that cartoon series, Visionaries? Remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so, like, that's a great series too, because a lot of the same voice actors and stuff that did G.I. Joe were on the Visionaries cartoon, which was short-lived. It only lasted a season, I believe. And it was interesting because those toys have the O-ring, they have the very similar construction. They're just a like Joes that are twice the size of the 3¾-inch.
Yeah, I used to have a couple of those.
I had one. I had the vehicle with the red and black vehicle. And the driver that came with that's only Visionary I had, and I don't remember what he was called. I have no idea, but it was pretty cool. But yeah, I was like, this is like a big G.I. Joe. This is great, you know?
Yeah, it's funny because I know I had two, but the one I remember having was this guy had like I think he was like one of the bad guys, and he had like red armor. He was missing the that holographic chest piece for some reason, but.
Yeah, because they'd have it on the chest and then they'd have the staff as well. Yeah. Well, certain ones would have the staff, and they all didn't have the staff, but.
Yeah, so this guy, at some point, I remember having, like, the figure, but all the other accessories were missing. But I would use him as, like, the big bad when I would play with the regular G.I. Joes, because he was, like, much bigger. So it took much more to, like, take him down versus, like, the standard-sized G.I. Joe. So I'd always use him as, like, a big bad boss to the Joes to fight against and stuff. So but yeah, it was like you're saying, like is they like construction wise is very much the same way they did it for the regular Joes, just much bigger.
Yeah, yeah, they're so great figures. It's a shame that the cartoon didn't last longer. I actually do have the comic book series, the mini series from that. It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I thought the whole concept was really neat. You know, where it's like they're like the age of magic is coming back, and so like traditional vehicles don't work anymore, only vehicles that use magic work and that kind of stuff. Like combustible vehicles don't work and electronics don't work. It's like only like magically driven vehicles actually work. It's pretty cool. It's kind of neat because I remember like with the comic books, I never had any Joe comic books. But I did have, like, I had a Fraggle Rock comic book, and it had, like, the Joe, it had the offers for, like, the mail-in figures, and they're, like, join the G.I. Joe, Freedom Force or whatever, and there was one called the Steel Brigade, and that was in, like, 1987, and I remember, they had this figure, it looked the same no matter what you picked, but the file card, you'd cut it out of the back of the comic book, and you would select what field you wanted to be in, like if it was security system specialist or paratrooper or like frogman or whatever. And I remember like telling my mom, like, hey mom, I'm gonna go join the G.I. Joe Defense Force, and so I'm gonna pack my bags, and she's like, she played along with it, she's like, you can't leave, I need someone to defend the house. And she's just like, no, you can't go. She's like, I need you to defend the house. Whatever. And it was just really funny. And needless to say, I didn't join the G.I. Joe Defense Force, but I at least wanted the figure, but I never mailed it in. Cause I'm like, oh crap. She made me feel bad. So I never mailed it. I never cut the card out, but the Fraggle Rock comic book still had the marker where I was filling out the application. It was so funny. And
that's hilarious.
Yeah. But yeah, it was some of the mail-ins they had were pretty cool. Like the refrigerator Perry, the fridge. He was a mail-in.
Yeah, I think I had him at one point, and I even had the Sergeant Slaughter. I think he had like the standard version that was released retail.
Yeah,
and I think he also had a mail-in version too. Like I want to.
I'm sure he did. Version. Well, I know Jinx, the female Red Ninja, she was mail-in.
Okay.
Oh, that was you mailed into Hasbro to get that.
Right.
And
speaking of that, I remember I don't remember the name of the Cobra Pirate groups. Like, you know what I'm talking about? It was like Zanzibar was one of the pirates.
Yeah. Was it supposed to be in like it was supposed to be in like a retaliation for like Slaughter's Marauders or
It's kind of like the reverse of them, I think.
Oh, okay.
I can't think of the name offhand without like looking it up. But what's interesting is I actually ordered Zanzibar with the airskiff as a mail order, and when I received it, it was in like this blank box. And of course you like assemble and stuff, but I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is great. Like, this is, oh, you can only get this in the mail. And I think a week after receiving the Zanzibar and air with airskiff, I go into, like, say, like a KB Toys, whatever toy store it was at the time, and I'm looking for another Joe to add on to what I had at the time. And sure enough, sitting on the shelf, looking at me, waving hi to me, and kind of laughing silently at me as well, is the retail version of Zanzibar with airskiff, and the box looked way nicer than how I received mine.
Nice, nice.
But I always liked that too. It was like one of those, like, the smaller vehicles. I kind of like them because
Well, yeah, and you could take it with you if you want to go somewhere. Like, say, like you had to get carted around by your parents. They had a doctor's appointment or whatever. It's like you had a small vehicle you could take with you. It's like much different than taking like a Cobra Rattler, or you're not gonna take the Defiant if you're one of those lucky kids lucky enough to have one of those. You're not
yeah.
gonna be carting that around. So if you had a smaller vehicle, like, oh, this is great. I can, it's more handy, I guess. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
Oh no.
I generally my brother and I we were pretty rough with our toys, and my brother had the Cobra Stun. Do you remember that vehicle? It had the
I
three
think
it was
so.
three wheels, and I don't remember what year it came out. It was like in the 89 or 90, I think.
Oh, was that the one where the front part kind of splits in two?
It
It was
might.
kind of like a motorcycle type
It
looking
looked
thing,
kind
like
of, I
three
think it
wheel.
looked kind of like that. It was a big vehicle though. I mean, it was big, and it looked like a giant three wheeler.
Okay.
And he had that, and then I got the vehicle I got was called the Thunder Machine, and it had like twin Gatling guns on the front, and it was cool because the bullets, it was like a belt that would rotate. And it was pretty cool. And of course, I broke it within the first week I had. I snapped one of the wheels off, and my mom tried to fix it by melting the plastic and getting it to dry again. Yeah, that didn't work.
Oh
So,
man.
because I was really disappointed. And I think it was at that point that the toys started to get real cheap. And because I don't remember being very rough with it, I probably was, but I mean, it's just like. That and so like and my parents were getting frustrated because it's like, oh, I'm not gonna keep buying these for you, blah blah blah. It's like cheap junk, and so it was like, we ended up getting steel toys like Tonka toys and that kind of stuff, and because our parents just kind of got fed up with these or losing the pieces or losing the figure altogether because they're so small. And that was my big beef with the 3 3/4 inch. It was like they're so small, and you.
Yeah, I had a problem with them at first, but I don't know, it seemed like they just stuffed awesomeness into those little figures that they've
Yeah.
been even like a cord on one single track, or is it like multiple tracks that you kind of like splice together?
I'm gonna have to splice this together because one of them I hit stop, so.
All
No,
right.
oh yeah, I mean the articulation and stuff was cool, but it was like the they're just really small, and my brother and I we were notorious for losing things or leaving things at restaurants, and it was just G.I. Joes did not fit well with our style of play. And a lot of times my brother and I we were outside and we would use the trees, we would use grass, we would use rocks and everything as our play sets. Because honestly, they were far superior to anything you could ever buy in the store. And it didn't cost anything. That's one of the benefits to living in a part of the country where there's a lot of overgrowth, there's rain, there's snow, you get everything. And It made playing with toys really fun, but also very costly because you'd end up, oh, we left this toy in the backyard. It got destroyed by a snowplow. You know, my brother-in-law came down and, you know, Prince Adam is crushed, or Colossus lost his arms because he got run over by a truck. You know, there's always that stuff.
Yeah, it's funny you mention that because one of my memories of playing with G.I. Joes was when I was in third grade. I actually went to third grade in Puerto Rico for that 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
There were like some other kids from my class that also played with G.I. Joes, but during recess, we would have all the figures we brought to school that day, and we would do exactly what you're talking about, where we would use like trees on the school campus there and hide the G.I. Joes. Like, we had like a mini storyline set up where you had some like G.I. Joes camping on like the giant trees waiting for the Cobra to come out.
Nice.
It's like, and then we
guerrilla warfare. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then like there was another site that the guys wanted to set up shop at too, you know, like the other figures, like maybe Cobra is like situated there. But for some reason, I always kept track of like how much time we had left for recess. And these guys, like, once when recess was done, they would go back into class but leave the figures out. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't want to lose my figures. So
yeah, exactly.
I would kind of like, yeah, I would like sneak off from like where they were setting up for like the other scene and take my figures and leave theirs behind. And whenever, I think there was like, we had two recesses each day. Like, one was in the morning and one was like closer to like afternoon, like right before we left for the day. And they would come back and one of the guys would say, hey, where are your figures at? They're missing. I was like, well, I didn't want to have my stuff stolen, so I took them back. And they didn't like playing with me much because of that, but I don't want to lose my stuff.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah, geez.
Yeah,
you know, plus kids are thieves anyway. You know,
well, of course, and they probably would have like maybe good. What was, well, off subject. When I was in Puerto Rico, I got into fights with those kids a lot because I guess I was like the outsider kid, that even though here's this kid that says he's Puerto Rican, but yeah, he's from the States. He's not one of us. So
I got into a lot of nice.
Yeah, it sounds funny, but it was grueling going to school down there. But in my mind, I was thinking, well, what if I left my toys out there, and one of the dudes that I always try to pick a fight with me knew where my figures were at and just kind of swiped them, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And you're like Worf on the Enterprise. You're not a true Klingon.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the Puerto Rican Worf.
Well, it's funny because it's like, why do you insist on angering me? It's like, just to see if it's still possible or something like that or whatever. You know. It is.
Yeah, I'm Punch, son of Eli.
Well, I can honestly tell you, I can vouch for the fact that you've got one of the hardest punches I've ever felt in my life. I mean, it freaking hurts. I've been punched by a lot of people, and I gotta say, yours hurt the worst. And
wait, how did that happen, though? Like,
we're just, I said, I wanted you to punch me as hard as you could. I want to go. I go, dude, go ahead. Go ahead and punch me. I think we're just like, it was like an endurance test, and I let you punch me. I was like 19 years old, and I think we're just messing around, we're just dueling or whatever. And I go, okay, stop, like that.
Wait, was it that year that I was a general contracting for that 1 year before college?
I think so. Yeah, it was wrong.
Yeah, that like, probably explains it.
Yeah. I was like, holy crap, man, you got some bony knuckles, man. It like went right through, you know. It's like, jeez. But no, it was like, I always had issues with like kids stealing toys, and you know, and a lot of the kids I associated with, their parents didn't have any money, you know, and the kids that had a lot of these toys and stuff, their parents would buy it all on credit cards, and then they go into debt and they can't finish their house. And I knew this one kid, their parents were in so much debt, they're like $100,000 in debt in 1990s money, that they couldn't even finish putting the siding on their brand new house, and the insulation would just flap in the wind. It looked terrible.
Wow.
Because they were spending money on toys and video games and swimming pools and, you know, just all that stuff. It was like, you know how bad the wind gets in the wintertime up there. And it was like right in the front, you know, it's like, this is just such a horrible you know, prioritization of you know, their money. You know, it's just terrible. And I mean, we knew some kids that they would get the best latest toys every year, and they would just, it was like they would just have so many of these toys that they, it was like hoarders, and you just go in there, just toys just thrown all over the place in piles, and it was like, it was just crazy. And I mean, some of these parents, they just go into so much credit card debt trying to buy these toys for their kids and all that stuff. And it was like my brother and my parent, my mom and dad were not credit card people. They were cash only. So a lot of it was like, my brother got a lot of our stuff. We got it from like Salvation Army or like yard sales and stuff. And the toys were in good shape. They're a fraction of the price. And we found a lot of vintage toys, even at that point, that were well off the market. I mean, like I said, the vintage Star Wars toys, like we had a Bespin cloud car. We had, wow. We had an X-Wing, we had a Millennium Falcon, like the vintage stuff from, you know, the original trilogy, and that stuff got swiped. And, wow. Or we'd let kids borrow it, and then, like, they'd snap a wing off or something like that, and, you know, that's just a lot of it, and, I mean, you know, it's just nuts, man. So, yeah, I'm kind of like you, I'm kind of looking to, you know, get back some of the stuff I had, and, you know, and that's pretty common, but you know, in our age bracket, it's like, you know, we're kind of like, hey, you know, you got some money to throw around a little bit, and you go ahead and get some of this stuff, you know, try and find it in good shape, you know.
Oh yeah, and it's weird because like the collector me now, I would always look to try to find like either like mint in box, like unopened, which is impossible and expensive at this point, or at least have the like vehicles, for instance, have them be close to complete, if not 100% complete. And if it has like a box in decent shape, hey, gravy on top of mashed potatoes, man.
Absolutely. Awesome. Well, and the box art for these toys, oh man, I mean, yeah. Just amazing. And I mean, nowadays they're putting together art collection books for a lot of this stuff, whether it be Masters or G.I. Joe, Transformers. But I got to tell you. I got to tell you that probably the Masters of the Universe and the G.I. Joe stuff are probably the tops for box art for me. And in the Joe stuff, it has like that explosion in the back. And it was real interesting how that kind of evolved over time, where like, remember when it started getting digitized in the background, it would be like pixelated.
It's funny because I was thinking the exact same thing as you were saying that. I'm looking online of like, because my mind, I was thinking about how the explosion changed over time, and as I'm thinking about it and finding it online, you're just talking about it. It's so crazy how that is. Like,
Well, yeah. And the thing is like the nice thing about the G.I. Joe stuff was that the picture of the character you're buying is on the card, and the way they present it, as far as like they present the product on the card, is just amazing. I mean, and it's the only toy line I'm aware of where people actually want to keep the cards. Even if they don't have the figures, they'll buy either the file card to keep, or they'll buy the entire card back and make wallpaper out of it. So what I ended up doing was I went and I bought like the 25th anniversary line, and I made wallpaper out of it. You know, my studio is pretty much peppered with, or like plastered with, I got Iron Man, Indiana Jones, Captain America, G.I. Joe, Dragon Ball Z, and Star Wars. And that's what I have on my wall. And I was like, this is, like, great, you know. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I love the box art. The box art's fantastic.
Yeah. You know, I guess riffing off of that, and to add on to what we were talking about before, that's another thing that I like about the 25th anniversary figures was that they weren't trying to reinvent the G.I. Joe figure like the figures before that were, like, they had the gigantic shoulder joints and stuff, and I don't remember the line that was called. I think it was like G.I. Joe versus Cobra, I think. It was like the line right before they released the 25th anniversary, and it seemed like they're trying to reinvent the Joe figure. And I think once the 25th anniversary came around, whoever decided on how the figures eventually became, I think they I would imagine they were thinking, well, let's stop trying to reinvent the toys, because what they had in the 80s, they were just great as it is. So let's just make an updated version of that. And what they produced, or what they ended up making, was such a perfect like progression of what it was from the 80s to now and stuff. Because they didn't really like try and like change anything. They just, updated the elbow joints. They changed how the, changed from the having the O-ring to having the articulation in the middle of the torso, and even adding like the rotating wrist joints and stuff, and
Yeah, those are
even having
great.
like, oh yeah, it's great, and even going as far as like putting the head in like a ball joint. It's what I would have what I would have liked to have happened for an updated version of a Joe figure was exactly what they did for a 25th anniversary. So I couldn't ask for anything more than what they did. And then on top of that, like also continuing with the artwork on the file cards like you were talking about, but even making like painting new artwork to match the updated figures too. Like it's just a really nice package how they handled like that first initial wave of the 25th anniversary figures. Great.
Yeah, it was great because I remember, like, I think it was 2006 and 2007. They came out with those. I know 2007 they did. Oh yeah, it was 07. Yeah, now that I think about it, is interesting because like after they got through all of the file card, like, or excuse me, the card backs, the foil, they kept going to where it's just the regular white letters, and they started doing some more of the variants that originally got released and doing updated versions of those. Like Roadblock has like the bright green and gray white vest and that kind of stuff. And they had like Iron Grenadiers and Bazooka. They'd have some of like the secondary characters, not like Duke or those guys, but like the Bazooka characters, like amazing. And then they have variants of Duke with like the big American flag. And they started doing like different versions of Flint and Scarlet, where they're in the blue uniforms. And then I remember they transitioned into the it was the G.I. Joe. What was the name of that cartoon series they started to transition into? I think it was,
Was it the Valor versus Venom? Was that it, or?
no, it was, this was after that.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember what line it was, and I'm cheating because I'm actually leafing through this. Because I'm trying to use my own knowledge, but at the same time, I don't want to misrepresent something. Yeah, I don't know. It'll come to me once I see him again. But they have the comic packs. I bought some of the comic packs that they released, and I have the one with like the Nemesis Enforcer, and it's really interesting because when they came out with the comic pack for that, they call him the Nemesis Immortal. And
Oh, that's cool.
remember Globulus, the big snake guy with the monocle, the bald guy? he
Yeah, yeah.
he uh that was Burgess Meredith was the voice for that guy.
Or are you talking about Captain Mindbender or Dr.
no no
Mindbender?
no no this was actually Globulus, the guy with the big snake body, and then his torso up was human. And
Oh,
he
that.
yeah
Oh, that's right. He did have a monocle. I remember now.
yeah
He looked
and
like a beefed up Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, I could see that, but it was Burgess Meredith was the voice,
Wow.
and Resolute, that's what it was, G.I. Joe Resolute.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, they started to transition into the Resolute line. And remember they had the figure the little box sets, and they were kind of like a trapezoid looking kind of thing. And it was you'd open up the flap, and then you could push a button, and it would play like the Cobra theme song or the G.I. Joe theme song, and it would it was great. It was pretty cool.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. The box was kind of like foil, right?
Yeah, it was foil. They did it f
Yeah.
they did two runs of the foil, and then they went to just kind of a cheaper thick cardstock paper thing. They started to cheap out. And
Yeah, I remember the box with the foil box ones with the sound box. I think they released that either with the first wave of the 25th anniversary or right before the first wave of the 25th anniversary. Because I remember I bought two boxes of the G.I. Joe and Cobra ones.
Yeah.
Just so I can have one to open and to mess around with the sound box, and one to, you know, have closed. Because even right. if you kept the figures in the box, the box itself looked kind of cool too. Seemed like
right.
they kept the figures propped up and stuff. But yeah.
You fall into the classic tractor beam, dude. One in the box, one in the display. And then I sort of realized this was getting really expensive. Like that.
But you know, speaking of that, I remember at least the up until the first four or five waves of the 25th anniversary, the figures are super cheap too. Like I don't remember paying any more like $6 for.
No, they were pretty good. They were dirt cheap for what you're getting. I mean, well, I will say that being said, this was before they started jacking up all the prices on subpar figures, because. Yeah. You remember the last glory days of figures was around, it probably after, I would say, 2010 or 2011, the toys started getting more expensive and they started getting cheap. Because, and I can tell you, the watermark was when they started releasing the Marvel movies, and that's when they started hiking up the price on toys. So, especially with like Star Wars Black Series, and it's to the point now, where like because they're so expensive artificially, they don't sell really until they get clearance, like on clearance, and then people start buying them because it's back down to like the 2010, 2009 prices.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
To me, I think the price of the toys started getting like unfair was when, do you remember? I think it was around 2010 where you had that supposed gas crisis where, like,
yeah, it was because
a gallon of gas was exactly. like absurd.
Yes,
well, that allowed the prices of toys to go up. And I remember,
which is just an excuse, it's not even legit.
Oh, it's terrible. And
oh, it's petroleum based, it's plastics petroleum based. Yeah, what a bunch of garbage.
Yeah, it's stupid. And I remember, it wasn't G.I. Joe's, I want to say maybe it was, Play Arts. Well, back when I was still into it, they went from like the initial Play Arts line. I think I mentioned this in the last podcast, where it went from regular Play Arts to Play Arts Kai, where, you know, they added better articulation, better sculpting, and the figures were a lot bigger than like the initial line.
Yeah.
But I had to remember going to the Square Enix booth, because they were the ones that initially produced or made the Square Arts or the Play Arts figures.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah,
I had gone to the Play Arts booth at whatever Comic-Con year it was, and I was kind of griping about it to one of the representatives there. I don't know if it made a difference or not. Obviously, it didn't, because the figures now are just ridiculous.
Don't you know who I am?
All right. we don't know anybody named Poncho.
Go up to him and say, like, my taxes pay your salary. Excuse me, sir? That makes no sense at all.
Sir, you know we're based in Japan, right? It doesn't matter.
I'm the customer and I am always right.
See, that's why customer service does not exist anymore.
Yeah.
So, but I remember kind of griping with one of the people working at the booth. Because I guess, I remember now, he was, I guess whoever was buying stuff, one of the reps there was also asking people to like fill out like a
survey card or something.
Yeah, like survey card feedback, yeah. Whatever.
That's a good
idea. And I had mentioned how I didn't like the fact that at the time the price of these figures doubled in value, and this isn't verbatim, but the general gist of what the guy's response to me was that because of the recent surge in like gas prices, the petroleum to make the toys, the cost has gone up. So, but we anticipate once gas drops down, the cost should drop down also, and the price of toys should reflect that. No, it has not, man.
Yeah, that's just lip service, man. Just get out of my booth. I'll make tell them somebody wants to hear.
Total fibbing.
Yeah, it's like the corporate. It's the corporate line that they're telling everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think now.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, it's just a real shame that they didn't kind of lower that a little bit, because I think it's definitely hurt. I think a lot of it is, I think it hurt G.I. Joe, because, like, Yeah, the movies obviously don't do as well as, like, Star Wars movies do, and they don't, you know, the Black Series is really just kind of a, that's one of the flagship lines of Hasbro at this point, and I would say it sells in total a lot better than G.I. Joe does, you know, obviously.
Yeah, it's,
yeah.
And I guess to build on the point I was trying to make earlier, like, to me, when I was younger, like, G.I. Joe and Star Wars toys kind of went hand in hand and stuff, and I think Hasbro still makes both toy lines. That's correct. Yeah. So it boggles my mind that they won't sell any more Joe figures until the next movie comes out. But I mean, I understand like Star Wars movies seem to be coming out for now on a yearly basis, so you have that to build up on toy releases. But at the same time, like why? Even during like the 90s, when there were, even before like the prequels came out, you still had Star Wars figures coming out along with G.I. Joe figures. So why couldn't they do the same thing now, where like obviously Star Wars is way more popular than G.I. Joe is at this point, but
right.
Why not allow some of that popularity to rub off on G.I. Joe to let people know, well, even though we have like the Star Wars Black line, here is the G.I. Joe equivalent. Just to kind of make it relevant until another G.I. Joe movie does come out, instead of like not having any figures produced at all, and then when the next Joe movie comes out, oh, by the way, here's some crappy G.I. Joe movie-based figures. Oh, crap, they're not selling, so let's not make any more until the next Joe movie. Like,
yeah, well, this
makes no sense to me at all.
Well, I think there's two factors to consider. Is one, the company's probably afraid they're going to lose money because it's very expensive to make toys. As far as like try to get the promotions out there and everything. And I, with you know, the people that are going to be buying these are people our age, okay? Younger kids aren't going to want this stuff. You know, the people buying Star Wars toys, they're guys our age. You know, they're collectors. And I think that's got a lot to do with it. And the thing is like, I think that Hasbro probably doesn't think that that's a big enough reason to keep putting figures out every year. And the other thing is that I think that they kind of beat the horse to death with Joe's last time, because like I was kind of saying earlier, is like, I mean, they would have like Resolute, and then they would have those animated figures from that G.I. Joe cartoon that came, Renegades, right? And they had figures for that, which they were very nice. But at the same time, it's kind of like you're watering it down. And I would say that the 25th anniversary was a breath of fresh air, because it was, like you said earlier, a throwback to the vintage Joes that people in our age bracket like. But I don't think people necessarily care about newer properties at this point. And I think they're probably thinking that, you know, a movie line is probably the only thing that's strong enough to even warrant putting out new figures at this point. And I think that's probably where they're going. And now, if the figure line does very, very well, they might decide to maybe do some more throwback stuff. Now, I do know that there's a G.I. Joe club. I don't know if it's still active or not, because I don't check into that.
It is.
So they still have their online stuff. So Hasbro is making them to a point. I'm assuming Hasbro is making those for the fan club.
And I think, well, before the show, when I was doing, like, research on, like, the stuff I used to own, I did see, because I was also doing research on eBay along with, like, my usual Googling and yojo.com. Seems like people have posted figures from, like, I guess there's, like, a G.I. Joe-type show, I think, in Georgia. I don't know if it's Atlanta, somewhere in Georgia, but... I don't remember the name of the show, but it's like a Joe specific show, and they have like exclusive figures that they released there. Like I think years ago, I remember reading about one instance where the convention was being held. They like either in the hotel or a nearby hotel. They would have like random announcements of like exclusive figures being like distributed, but the way they would distribute it is that they would have fans. And like the some of the floors had like open terraces where you can see floors above you, kind of like in a mall.
Oh,
And
that's cool. Yeah.
you'd have like the reps be on the topmost floor, and they're basically parachute down the figures, and whatever you caught, that's what you would take for yourself.
Oh,
But
okay.
yeah, they but yeah, I think they're still producing them, but not in the retail sense. It's more like show exclusives or,
Yeah, because it
your
looks
own
like
stuff.
2016 they had just a few club exclusive figures. It looks like they had three. And they look really nice. I mean, you know, but so this year, nothing. They've had nothing. So,
That
which
sucks.
sucks. But I actually liked both G.I. Joe movies. I don't know about you, but I actually liked them both. Like the live action. I enjoyed them. I really did. And you know, I like movies for my own reasons, and I don't listen to the general consensus of people with this kind of stuff. Because, come on, I'm entitled to my own opinion, and I stick to it. And I don't get pressured by what other people think. I really don't care. And
I mean, Santa Claus is your number one movie of all time, so that
well,
explains it all right there.
oh, you mean the Dudley Moore Santa
Yeah.
Claus?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Jody and I did that commentary, you know, last December. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was great.
That was fun to listen to, man. Even though it's been like ages since I last watched the movie, but yeah, that was a cool comment.
I watch it
Like,
on the CRT monitor.
yeah.
It looked
Yeah,
terrible. He's watching
get
it in like freaking HD, and I'm watching on this convex. I'm on this old RCA CRT monitor television I got in 2003. It was a hand-me-down when I moved over here.
Oh man, but you know it's good though. Like, CRTs, like, especially since there's so much retro gaming based stuff coming out.
Oh,
Like,
sure.
I mean, you have the option of playing in HD, but if you want to get like the full or like
Yeah.
as close to authentic experience, you can't get any better than like playing on a CRT
Oh,
TV. Like,
yeah.
I
Nothing compares to it. Nothing compares
oh no,
to it.
not at all. And it's funny because when I first moved into my apartment years ago, I had an I think flat screen TV were still like too like it was still too priced out for like for it to be like more commonly purchased. The way like now it's just so commonplace, but at the time like it wasn't as commonplace. So I still have like my the CRT TV that I had brought from my mom's apartment when I was still with her for a bit. And I still have it here. And even though that is not my main TV, but once I move into another apartment and set everything up the way I want to, that's gonna be my primary retro TV to be playing all my retro gaming
Well,
stuff.
the
So.
thing is, these old TVs are like tanks, man. They just go forever. They used to build
Oh
stuff
yeah.
to last. And I had a 42-inch Westinghouse HD
Oh
TV
wow.
several years ago, and that thing lasted about like 2 years, and then it crapped out. And
That sucks.
then Westinghouse actually gave us a 2010 model later on, because they're like, well, you know, there's a reason why they're phasing these older TVs out. But I mean, now it's like, heck, I got a 65-inch Ultra HD Samsung in the living room, and it's like, you know, it's mounted up on a bracket, so it's like angled in the corner, and you know, and everything with it, you know, and it's like, I still have this old RCA in the studio here, and I watch G.I. Joe cartoons. I run the I've got a Toshiba DVR, and I have an Xbox 360 running to it, and it's great. I just play the DVDs and the freaking Xbox.
Oh, that's pretty neat, man.
Yeah, so it's like my ultimate de-stress. I come in at, you know, after, you know, I have like a crappy week at work or whatever, just stressful. I come in here first thing in the morning. I usually get up about 6 o'clock in the morning on my days off. I come down here for like at least an hour of just chilling and just watching Joes or He-Man. And that's just like the best. I look forward to it like every week, you know. Just
Now, do
simple
you wake up
stuff.
before your kids do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the real trick right there. 'Cause I've the studio doors, I've got they're glass doors. And so I'll be sitting there, and they're like French doors or whatever, and you'll hear this dunk 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 dunk, and my son with his wild hair with a big grin on his face, can I come in? It's like, I'm not gonna say no, you know, he's awesome, you know. And then my day is officially started now. So, and then my daughter gets up, and it's like ah, she'll just go in there, ah, like that. Yep, get the other one. She's awake now. And
I guess so. It's time to do some chores now.
Yeah, or just corral them. You know, corral those kids because they're crazy. Yeah.
Now, I'm wondering, does your son get into Joe's too like you do, or is he into like other kind of toys?
Oh, yeah, he wants to play with the vintage ones, which I'm like, not yet. He's 5, but in a couple of years, he'll be careful with them, or he'll be okay. But no, he likes any toys now. He's got the Star Wars Galactic. Good question, by the way. Star Wars Galactic Heroes. He loves those things. Those are great. He's got all of them, like all the ones from like the last few years, all the vehicles and stuff. And those are great because they're really hard plastic. They don't break. And in my opinion, I think even if you're a Star Wars collector, they're cool to have. But he's got the Hasbro. He's got the ones where you can pull the heads off and mix and match the arms and legs. They're made out of that really sturdy plastic.
Oh yeah,
head mashers. Mashers. That's what they are.
Okay.
And those are great because he's got the Star Wars ones, the Marvel ones. Those are awesome, and so he really loves those things.
And do you remember that G.I. Joe line? I think it was like late 90s where it was they're like super distorted bodies where like the Joe's kind of like bulkier than they normally are. But like I remember like hearing like,
yeah, that was G.I. Joe Extreme, and you couldn't move the legs. They were like starting lineup figures where they were like fixed or something. I hated those things.
No, not those. They were articulated, but like they had like really distorted bodies. But I remember, can't remember who it is offhand, but I remember him having like a young kid, like maybe he was like 2 or 3 at the time, and those are his favorite toys because these things were like insanely durable. Like he would launch them across the room and they wouldn't even break at all.
He's throwing them. He's launching them across. Yeah. The domestic dispute. They don't break.
Yeah. what was the? Did you use a belt then? No, I threw a G.I. Joe toy in my head.
We need to take this for evidence. They put it in a Ziploc bag. Let the court see. Let me present Exhibit A. It is a, what do you call this again? Cobra Commander figure. Was thrown at the plaintiff.
Codename Cobra Commander.
Codename Cobra. Yeah, they have the file card in the Ziploc bag, yeah, too.
Yeah, he claims to have had a small residue of silver chrome paint left in his forehead after impact from the toy.
Yeah.
Said toy in evidence.
Yeah, nice.
But yeah, like, I remember, like, hearing about those toys being like crazy durable and stuff, and like since you mentioned your kid likes playing or has interest at least in the vintage toys, it makes me wonder like the future of like Joe. I mean, this is like jumping way over like vintage stuff. It was just something.
Yeah,
I was
I'm trying to think what line you're talking about because I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's. I wish I could remember. Maybe if I.
Oh, wait, was it those stupid Manimals?
No, it wasn't Manimals. They didn't transform or anything like that. But I remember, like, there may be, I think they're about 6 inches tall, maybe. And, at least on the male figures, I don't think there were any female figures. I think they were all male figures. But, like, I keep on thinking of Shipwreck, where he had the hat on. But like his muscles like really distorted where they're kind of like blocky. They almost look like virtual fighters where you know how they had like the polygonal type shapes.
Oh yeah,
to the body
yeah,
stuff.
Like the 32-bit graphics or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, it was similar to that, and they had like ball jointed joints for for articulation and stuff. Maybe I'm very well confusing with a different line, but I remember that being like a G.I. Joe line where it was like really built well and stuff. But yeah. Like, makes me wonder like and stuff like if like the way what you were talking about before when a new Joe movie does come out and they release the figures.
Well, they had the combat heroes. Those are cool.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really small line, but I remember in 2008 because they had started releasing. They had Combat Heroes, Galactic Heroes, and then they had like the your like construction workers, like you know, the like more real life you know, kind of Fisher Price type things. But yeah, it's interesting to see. I'm still trying to figure out what those are, what the line you're talking about.
Maybe I should look them up
because I tell you, those GI Joe, those GI Joe Extreme toys are just, those are steaming piles of crap.
Yeah, no, I know which ones you're talking about. They're complete garbage. But I'm trying to think. I could be wrong, but I remember them having like on the arms at least. They were like two like. They were like hold slots or whatever. Like there's like little like two slots at least where you can like attach weapons on the arms and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Does that sound familiar still or not really?
Oh yeah. Oh, you're thinking, are these the see, you gotta remember I was out of it by the time stuff came out. Is it the what do you call it? I'm trying to is it the Sigma series in 2005?
That's it, Sigma, yeah.
Yeah, see, I from the Sigma line, all I have are the 12-inch Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes set. It's in like the green box.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean these figures are such a departure from the older stuff, but they're still really nice though because they're 8-inch and they're pretty sturdy. Oh, and I did give him a Duke. I have a Duke from this line.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got the like cloth pants and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Some of the figures actually had cloth pants, and it looks like, yeah, okay. So, yeah, the arms were articulated, and the knees were, and the ankles. So,
yeah.
And it looks like some very, very limited kind of maybe midsection. But, yeah, they had a lot of good weapons and stuff, and they actually, I think they actually had vehicles for these. Yeah, they had three. Look, they had two vehicles. Well, hang on a second. Let me see. I'm such a hack. okay, they had this motorcycle looks pretty good. And it's called the Ninja Hover Cycle. This looks really nice. To have vehicles for an 8-inch figure is pretty impressive to me. And this looks. I bet you these are worth some coin. I bet you these are really nice.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, I have no memory of these.
Yeah. Well, I mean, other than the story that I told you about, I just remember, like, briefly seeing them in stores. But I'm looking at the Cobra Commander one now online. And
yeah.
He kind of looks, like, kind of mecha-ish, which is kind of neat.
You know, they all kind of, you could definitely tell it's art comes to life, so to speak, where it's, they're very, they're almost caricatures of, you know, they're very exaggerated in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a nice distinct look though. It's definitely something that would be really hard to duplicate, like for another line, because it's so specific to the Sigma line.
Right. Yeah.
It's so weird because like back then when I saw on this toy shelves, I was thinking to myself, man, these toys look like crap. But I don't know, maybe it's just a matter of, like, my taste changing as I got older. But I'm looking at these now, I was like, man, these things actually look kind of cool.
Yeah, they're not too bad. You could definitely tell they're definitely a product of the mid-2000s. when they were really trying to, a lot of the toy companies were really trying to branch out and do something fresh and new. So you got to hand it to them for that as well. He has a, William's got a 12-inch Duke figure with, I actually bought them on eBay because I got that 12-inch Duke figure with, it's just like one of those generic World Heroes Hughes 500 helicopters. I got one of those too, and he has those, and he has a lot of fun with those. He still That's likes cool. playing with those, and they're very solid. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And one thing I do remember, even from when I first saw these the brief time that I saw these in the stores, I liked how if you see some of the images of the figures in package, how when you have like the clamshell, like the piece of plastic on top and bottom, once you open the package, you can still use those plastic pieces as like a footlocker to store
oh,
that
sure.
figure in the box. And yeah. I think that's freaking brilliant as far as like package design goes. It's awesome.
Yeah. Man, I tell you, some of these 2009 12-inch figures from like G.I. Joe Rise of Cobra, mm-hmm. they've got a Baroness figure on here. It looks amazing. like cloth robe and stuff, and these are really nice. A lot of accessories and stuff. That's pretty. Yeah, and it has the box, and it looks like. Let me see if you can store things in here. Yeah, you can. You can actually put the figure back in, which is really neat. Man, I tell you, see around this time I was doing the Masters of the Universe Classics, so that was my thing. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see.
And so I wasn't buying any Joe stuff. But no, yeah, I think this is a good place to kind of park this one, because I want to do, I'd like to have you back on. I'd like to have you back on, and when Jody's back, we could do maybe another toy episode. And
yeah, that's cool. I mean, I'm sure we can talk even more about Joe's, but because there's like so many stories that I want to talk about. Like,
oh yeah, I mean, like I said, this. We're just scratching the surface. And I know Jody. Oh, yeah. Jody's got a ton of Joes, and his own experiences and stuff. So I think it'd be great to have, you know, two guys on here that on the show that really, you know, have a lot of memories of Joes. And I think he'll probably pull some stuff out of you that, you know, I can't, because, you know, I was too busy burning my toys. So
no, as a quick story. Well, I kind of, like, try to keep my toys as in decent shape as possible, but,
so does Jody.
But a part of me when I was younger liked to tinker.
Right.
So, and one thing I tried to do with some of the vehicles that I regret doing this to, because now, not that they're difficult, but they're kind of pricey, a little pricey now, so, but anyway, like, I used to have, I think the peak of my interest in the Joe figures were when the Slaughter's Marauders came out.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was like when the movie came out or after that. But anyway, I was like really into them. And so I had almost all the Slaughter Marauder vehicles. My favorite one was the one called the Equalizer. And it had like just like a pretty decent sized tank. I think it was about maybe 14 inches long.
Yeah.
And, you know, it had like a rotating turret where it had like six missiles and all this awesomeness in it, but on the bottom, like the body of the tank itself was like super hollow, and even like if you flip the tank on its back, like a underside, there was like a plate that you can open and it would access the inside hollow part of the tank. So a lot of times I would just put like, you know, random Joes in there just for storage. But in my tinkering phase, I wanted to make the tank motorized, and at this point, I had a very, really, really basic understanding of, like, how motors and stuff work, like, you know, their functions and stuff. So my thinking was, if I find, like, four or six of these motors, you know, one motor per wheel that was on that tank, and attach them to the tank, it could work. So I would, like, gut out the, you know, like the area where the wheels would attach to the body, and like try to put in the motor into the that slot where the wheels would be at, and then hopefully that would all work. So in theory, in my 12-year-old mind, in theory that worked great. I had no idea about how plastics work when you try to break them or when you try to cut into them, and so a small hole became a gigantic gap missing from the side of the tank. And when I realized like how far into it I got into like destroying this tank, that I couldn't salvage it and make it into the mobile tank that I wanted it to be, I ended up just trashing the entire thing and throwing it away.
yeah I remember, but, speaking of trash with this stuff, is like I remember sitting at a bus stop, and like these people, we're at the sitter's house or whatever, and I was only like 7 years old, and we're hitting a bus, picking up the bus at her house, and their neighbors in the trash can, I was so gonna take these things. They had a bunch of G.I. Joe vehicles just thrown in the trash, and there was a Cobra Rattler just staring right at me, and then there was there was another vehicle which I don't remember, but I just remember that I was like, I can't believe these are sitting in the trash. I should just take these. But, you know, being that young, I'm like, I don't want to get accused of being a trash thief or having it. I couldn't take them to school because it's not like I had a locker or anything, you know. And that was trash day, and I always remember that. So at that point in my life, I realized, I said, when I get the money to do this, when I get older, when I become an adult, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to get me a Cobra Rattler all myself. And so, it was, that's always stuck with me. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate you coming on here, Ponch, and I'd like to get Eli.
it's weird. Like, growing up, you always call me Ponch, but like I still can't get over the fact that you're calling me by my name. It's like, no, you should be calling me Ponch, not Eli.
Okay, if you prefer, I'll call you Ponch. That's fine.
All right, cool. That works.
If you're cool with that,
I'm
thinking about the last episode you were on, man. It was great. It was such a lot of fun, man. Talking about coming to America and stuff. It was awesome.
Oh my goodness.
I got thinking about that movie again earlier today. Yeah.
So, okay. So for another idea for an episode, I think you should dedicate an episode just to coming to America.
I was thinking about that too. I was thinking about that today. Yeah.
I think that movie alone should warrant like at least a month's worth of podcast episodes, because that movie is just so rich and awesome and glorious, man.
She's your queen to be. Prepare the royal baggage. I love that when he's saying that.
You
so.
Too.
Nice. It's awesome. Kids go by on a skateboard wearing like the powdered wig and like that colonial garb. Let them wear our princely robes. It's awesome.
I got it too. Like, do an episode of just like, dedicated to coming to America, and then like at some point after that, do a director's cut to coming to America. That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, a special intro by Arsenio Hall.
Oh my goodness, man, Dr. Teeth.
Yeah.
Did you ever see him in the Chappelle Show?
I don't think so.
He didn't. I think he only appeared once, but Chappelle was doing this skit where like he was wondering like how like certain celebrities are doing. So he was thinking like, I wonder how Arsenio Hall is doing at this point. And he's daydreaming, seeing Arsenio Hall in like this looks like a wine tasting room, and he has this plate of cheese. He goes, man, this is some good cheese. Man, how come he didn't tell me he had some good cheese and pop somebody in the face? It's pretty funny, man. But
yeah, that's funny. I forgot about that guy. I don't know what he's doing these days. Nice. Some of these celebrities are like, oh yeah, that's right. You know.
I remember him being alive a few years ago. I wonder if he's still living.
Yeah, it's sad, but yeah, that kind of runs through your mind. And
yeah, man.
But yeah, cool. All right, cool. Well, we appreciate everyone downloading this and listening to it. Catch us on iTunes, Podomatic. I think we're still on Stitcher Radio. This is a lot of fun. I love revisiting this old stuff. Yeah, Ponch, like I said, well, I'd love to have you back on here. Yeah, this has been a lot of fun. Anything you want to add before we wrap it up?
No, I mean, like I've said before, whenever you want me on, I'll be on. This is always fun.
So. Yeah, and in future episodes, I'm really gonna lean on your experience with the Comic Cons and stuff. So, it's great. I'm really excited to be able to do that. So, all right, guys.
Yeah.
We'll catch you next time.